Shavuos is in the air. We're starting our preparations, certainly the mental preparations for Shavuos. Allow me to share just one small thought before I call up Rav Shor to address us this evening. When children come home from school, they learn about Shavuos, they learn about a few mountains. They learn about Har Sinai, and the Torah was given on Har Sinai because it was the smallest of the mountains. And they learn about these other big mountains that seem to be a bit arrogant, having too much pride in their size, Har Carmel, Har Tavor. But it's interesting what the Gemara tells us in the end of Megillah. The Gemara says we should really learn a great lesson from Har Tavor and Har Carmel. Because the Gemara there says that Asidin Batik Nesisa Batik Midrashi Shebabavel, that in the days to come, when Mashiach will arrive, the shuls and the Batik Midrashis that are outside of Eretz Yisrael will be replanted in Eretz Yisrael. Where do we know this from? The Gemara says we prove it from Har Tavor and Har Carmel. Because if they came to hear Torah at Har Sinai, and it was only for a temporary time, it was only for that revelation when HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to us and taught us Torah then. And yet that schus, that merit, brought them into Eretz Yisrael for all time, forever. So those Batei Midrashos, those Batei Knesiyos, the shuls and the Beis Medrash, that there's Torah learned all the time, certainly will be able to have the schus of going to Eretz Yisrael. Question is asked, what will we need shuls and Beis Medrash for in Eretz Yisrael? We'll have the Beis HaMikdash. All of the Kedusha will be from the Beis HaMikdash. And perhaps it's true, the Beis HaMikdash will have tremendous Kedusha. But who will merit to have that Kedusha? Who will merit to go in and be able to stand the Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash? Well, all of the Batei Knesiyos and Batei Midrashos, they will all affix themselves, attached to the Beis HaMikdash. And indeed, those who found themselves in the Beis Medrash, those who supported those who go to the Beis Medrash, they will go along with that Beis Medrash. And we consider it, myself and all of the Yungalite, we consider it a special privilege that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent us to a community who values Limud HaTorah, community that seeks out Limud HaTorah, and comes and learns and comes and uses the Beis Medrash, and come learn together with Chavrusas of the Yungalite and Shiurim. But the truth is, even though the Beis Medrash is crowded on almost every evening in the Kail, it should really be fuller than that. It should really be an overflow crowd every night. People should be encouraged to go on a regular basis. Not just once in a while we go to a shir, but all the time. Because those who find themselves all the time in the Beis Medrash, they will be assured that when Mashiach will arrive, indeed this Beis Medrash will go together with all those that are in it, to go together with all those that associate with it, and are wise enough now, when there's still time left, to place a strong value on Limud HaTorah. And then go with this Beis Medrash along with the other worthy Batei Midrashos and Batei Knesiyos that so much learning is done, they too will also go to Eretz Yisrael with the coming of Mashiach. In preparation for Shavuos, and indeed in preparation for the arrival of Mashiach, which we're waiting so longingly for, we've asked Harav Agoyner of Avram Shor to come address us this evening. Indeed, it is a very big privilege to have someone of Rav Shor's stature, Rav Shor's scholarship, his depth of Torah, and his enormous heart to address us on this very important topic. Harav Shor.
Shus the Rosh HaKoylel, and all those who gathered here tonight in support of the Koylel, to prepare ourselves for Kabbalah Satera, and try together to understand how we prepare ourselves and what does the day of Kabbalah Satera mean in connection to the ultimate redemption, Bibias Mashiach. We are now in the last 2 weeks of Sviras HaEmer, and if we look through the parashas of the Torah, we realize that probably in the coming week are the days when Amalek attacked Klal Yisrael. Before we came to Midbar Sinai, before the first day of the Chedesh of Sivan, we were in Rephidim, and the Torah Akdoisha teaches us that there Amalek attacked Bnei Yisrael. Why did they attack Bnei Israel? The place was called Rephidim. And our sages understand that that word means Rafu Yedeyem Midivrei Torah. Their hands that should have been close to Torah were Rafu, were not completely engrossed in Torah. The question is an obvious question. When you know that in another few days you are going to enter Midbar Sinai, in another few days there's going to be Matan Torah, you're in the middle of counting the days from when it will end, the 50 days when you will be Mekabel the Torah, and you already counted over 35 days, over 38, 39, you're already entering almost the last week. Then, suddenly you become weak. Suddenly there is Rifyain. Suddenly you're not doing it what you have to do with the complete heart. Then Amalek has an ability to come and attack. We would understand, we would be asked, the closer you come to the end, and you realize that in a few days you're going to be Mekabel the Torah Akdesha. In a few days God is going to reveal Himself in the greatest revelation that the world ever saw, Maimed Har Sinai. Now you become weak. Now Amalek has an ability to come and attack you and enter within the clouds and pull out people. And people should be weak enough that Amalek should be able to have a koyach against them. How do we understand that? And I think that everybody understands the question and is bothered by the question. I think that when the Geula will come, when Mashiach will reveal itself b'meira b'yameinu, the same question will be asked on us. All the years of Golos, people were strong. People believed in the Geula. People cried on Tisha B'Av of Churban HaMikdash. And suddenly, when the end of Golos is almost over, when the Golos is almost over, we're at the end. When we hear already the footsteps of the Geula, all the signs that the Gemara tells us that the Geula is around the corner, we feel it with our hands that the Geula is here almost. We see everything that Chazal told us is going to happen is happening. And you only have to open your eyes and look what's going on in the world. I realize the degradation and the immorality that the world has. I realize how much turmoil there is in the world, how dangerous the world has become, how much the face of the world has changed. Those of us who remember 30, 40 years ago, the Muslim religion didn't play the role that it plays today. So we see something is happening. We see that the Gula is around the corner. And we hear from our Gedolei Yisrael words on how close it could be if we don't ruin the matzav. And now we should become weak. Now we should become weak. Why is that? Why is that the tendency that we see that right before Matan Torah, right before the revelation of Hashem Yisbarach on Mount Sinai, we became weak a week before and Amalek attacked us? And maybe we can understand why we in our generation, even though we talk about the Geula, even though we talk about redemption, even though Mashiach is on our lips, still we don't find ourselves preparing ourselves, elevating ourselves, changing ourselves, because Geula is around the corner. Mashiach is going to face us. When Mashiach comes, we will see clearly the truth. Maybe the answer lies in the following explanation given by the Shem Shmuel. When something is far away, we feel we can prepare ourselves. There's time. We can plan. Today a little, tomorrow a little bit more, will grow. But suddenly the Yetzirah came to Klal Yisrael and told Klal Yisrael, do you know that in a week there's going to be Matan Torah? Do you know how far away you are from that? Do you know how unprepared you are? Sometimes, because it's so close, because it's around the corner, you can suddenly feel nothing will help anyway, so I might as well give up. And that's what happened to those weak people in Klal Yisrael, who the Torah Kedosha calls the Nechshalim, the weak ones. They suddenly became weak. In a week from now, in 10 days from now, we have to be prepared. We have to stand under the mountain and accept the Torah. We're not ready. We have a long way to go. And then enters the worst thing that there is. Yiush, despondence. I heard from my father, the Chayna Leveracha, in Tuma, there are many different levels. The greatest Tuma that there is Tuma Sames. Why? Why is the Tuma that comes from a person that passes from the world the greatest Tuma? Avi Aves HaTuma, the father of all Tumas. Why is that? And he said, in the name of the Ishbitzen, because when a person passes from the world, nobody takes a tillim that he should get up. We give up. There's no hope anymore. That is the greatest tuma, the greatest mazik, the greatest danger in the world, giving up hope. Do you know? The Gemara tells us at the end of Masechtis Ksubos that when Rabbeinu HaKadosh Rebbe passed away from the world, they decreed Nobody should be tell anybody that Rebbe passed away from the world. Nobody should know about it. Why? Why shouldn't anybody know about it? The Shita Mukubetes brings from a Ksaviyat of a Rashi. We don't have that Rashi. But he brings a Rashi that says that they wanted that people should continue to daven, continue to say Tilim for Rebbe. Because the only reason that a person doesn't have Tchias HaMeisim is because we don't daven. And if people won't know that he died, they won't stop davening. And maybe it'll help to have Tchias HaMeisim. What is Rashi telling us? Rashi is telling us that there is no such thing as giving up hope. Misa is the symbolization of a person saying, I can't anymore. But we know that there is no such thing in the world. But that's the koyach of the Yetzirah, to come a week before Matan Torah and tell a person, you anyway won't be ready. You anyway won't be able to prepare yourself. You might as well give up. You might as well go enjoy the world. It's very, very possible that we suffer in our generation, consciously or subconsciously, from the same problem. Maybe it is because we know that Mashiach is behind the door and around the corner, that deep in our heart we feel, I can't prepare myself anyway for Him. So I might as well pick up my hands and give up. That's Amalek talking to us. That's Amalek that in this week, the last week in Iyar, we have to fight Melchemes Amalek. We have to go out and destroy Amalek. Amalek, who it says in the Torah, Ashekarcha Baderech. What is Ashekarcha Baderech? You're middle of the way, you're going out of Mitzrayim, B'tzeischem in Mitzrayim, you're going out of Mitzrayim, you're leaving Egypt, you're on the way to Matan Torah. You're going from Mitzrayim to Nasav and Ishma. The whole Mitzis Mitzrayim was only for one tachlis, was only for one objective, to get to Nasav and Ishma. It says in the Sefer Avas Yisrael, a davar nifla, Yitzias Mitzrayim. In the Hebrew language, there's something that no other language exists. That besides being the letters of the alphabet, the letters of the alphabet are also a numerical value. And the numerical value of Yitzias Mitzrayim is 891. And the numerical value of Nasa v'Nishma is 891. Because Yetzias Mitzrayim without a Nasa v'Nishma doesn't exist. And Amalek came b'derech, in the middle of the way, you were in the middle of a job, you were in the middle of working on yourself to elevate yourself from Yetzias Mitzrayim to Nasa v'Nishma. And came Amalek, Ashekarcha Baderech, Ashekarcha, one of the explanations of the word Karcha is from the Lashon Krirus, from the Lashon of cold. He made you cold. He took away your warmth. He took away your slavus. He took away your bren. He said, no, what are you running for? It's not going to happen so fast. You're not ready yet. Calm down. Don't be so enthusiastic. That's Amalek. Ashekarcha Baderech. And this week, the week before is Chedesh Sivan, the last week in Chedesh Iyar, the last week and a half in Chedesh Iyar, this is the time when Melchemes Amalek happened. And it lies on us to go out and fight with that Amalek. To go out and fight with that Amalek that wants to tell us, prepare for Mashiach, prepare for redemption. Who am I? Suddenly he comes and makes you very small. You can't do it anyway. You're never going to get there. You're never going to succeed. So what are you doing? Why are you trying so hard? Why are you changing your ways? Keep up your old ways. Nothing is going to happen anyway. When that Amalek comes, it's time for us to get up and fight Amalek. We have to be from those that the Torah HaKadosh tells us, Bechar lanu anashim. We have to be those who go out and fight in the Melchama Hashem ba'Amalek midor dor. The Melchama that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has against Amalek in all generations until the last generation. And in the last generation he is the strongest, because he knows that he's around the corner from Achrisa Yadei Oivet. It's almost the time that he won't exist anymore, Amalek. And we all know what our sages teach us, that a candle before it goes out flickers stronger. So too the Yetzirah and Amalek, which know that when Mashiach comes, he won't have a chance anymore. When Mashiach comes, there won't be any more Amalek. It'll be the time when the Rebbeinu Shalom will be Mekayim Mochay Timcha, Mochay Emcha. The Yetzirah will have its last Shechita. So now he has come with all his power in every way possible to bring degradation and immorality to the world that the world never saw, the world never had it. To take away all the morality that the world ever knew, all the manners that the world ever knew, and to bring us that we, Am Hashem, the Am HaNivchar, the chosen people, to say that we give up. We can't prepare anyway. But we can prepare. Do you know why Amalek can succeed in telling us we can't prepare? Svarim HaKadoshim teach us Amalek's numerical value is Ram, Resh Mem, meaning Gaiva. V'ram levavecha v'shachachta, it says in the Torah. Your heart will be ram, your heart will be haughty by itself, big, you'll feel for yourself, you're a high person. And then v'shachachta, you'll forget about that HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why gaiva bring a person to give up? Because when you are a bal gaiva, you want to be complete in what you do. And if you can't do it all the way, then I might as well not start. But when a person knows he can't do anything anyway, only what HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us we do, and we try again, even though we're feeble people, even though we're weak people, but we do what we have to because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help us. And you never give up. A person gives up when he thinks he can and he learns he can't. Nobody gives up when he never thought that he was able to. So giving up really comes from Gaiva. That's why Amalek, who symbolizes Gaiva, is the one who brings us to despondence, to Yish. But when a person knows, I'm anyway in the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all I can do is only because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me to do it. And He is the one who gives me the strength to do it and the ability to do it. And I never give up. Because it's anyway not my ability to do it. It's anyway not my koyach. It's anyway not my ability in my moyach or in my guf to do it. It's only HaKadosh Baruch Hu who's helping me. And therefore I never give up. So what is the greatest achana? What is the greatest preparation that we can do when we're standing already 10, 11, 12 days away from Matan Torah? The greatest preparation is anova. To realize all that I do is only from the chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All that I do is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is helping me. And therefore, whatever I take upon myself, I will be able to do. You know why I will be able to do it? Because within me I have a neshama HaKadosha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created me and said in the Torah that He gave me a neshama, a chelek elekai mimal, a carrying around in myself, kaviyochol, a piece of the Ribbono Shel Olam within me. And listen to one thing that we can't forget. If the Bara Olam we believe and we're maminim b'nei maminim, our Muna is steadfast that the Ribbono Shel Olam is a koil yochol. There's nothing that the Ribbono Shel Olam can't do. Whether to heal or to destroy. The Ribbono Shel Olam is a koil yochol. Everything is in His hands. Remember that every Yid is a Koel Yochel because he had in himself a Neshama HaGdeisha. There's nothing that you say you can't do because it's not you that is doing it. It's true as a human being, as a boss of a dom, as one who has physical and material body. Of course we have no ability to do certain things. But if we realize we carry around the neshama, as we say every morning, the minute we get up, Maida ani lefanecha melech chai v'kayom, shechzar tabi nishmasi. We get up in the morning, the first thing we say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, you gave me back my neshama. Not my goof was here a whole night. My neshama, my chelik elekai mimal, elekai neshama shenesata bi, tahirai, that tahirik neshama that you gave me. Every morning we get back that neshama, and therefore we are not feeble people that can't do anything. Because we have a neshama HaKadosha that we're able to undertake anything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us to do, and we're able to do it with the koyach of our neshama. But we have to awaken the koyach of the neshama. We have to light the koyach of the neshama. We have to make it alive. Ner Hashem Nishmas Adam. The neshama of a person is the Ner Hashem. A Ner has to be lit. A Ner needs shemen. If you don't give oil into a Ner, it doesn't burn. If there's no psila, it doesn't burn. If there's no wick, it doesn't catch on the fire. So a Ner needs a keli with which to hold the oil, and it needs a wick to put in, and then it lights. A person has to have a ner, a psila, and shaman. Nefesh, it says in Svarim HaKadoshim, is Rosh Tevis, ner, psila shemen. That's our avodah. We have a ner Hashem nishmas Adam, but we have to light it. We have to make sure that it has from where to burn. And that is the koyach of Torah and mitzvahs. Torah and mitzvahs are the fire. Torah and mitzvahs are the ruach, the wind, which blows on the coals to make them burn and the fire should grow. We have a ner Hashem nishmas Adam. We have a chelek elokai mimal within ourselves. But by doing what we have to do, by learning Torah Akdeisha, by supporting our husbands to go out at night, of course it's much easier for a woman that her husband should stay home and keep her company at night. It's a great Messias Nefesh to say, go and study Torah, go to your Chavrusa, go to your Shir. And that's how you light your neshama, by me mechazek and strengthening your husband to go to learn Torah. By doing mitzvahs, by doing Ratzon in Hashem, we strengthen the air of the neshama. After the chait of Adam Arishain, the Torah Akdasha tells us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made for Adam and Chava kosnois oir. Svarim teach us that before the chait of Adam Arishain, the body of a person was as the same like our nails today. The whole body was the same like the nail that a person has. After the chait, it changed to oir. It changed to skin. The skin doesn't let the oir of the neshama through. There's a ner Hashem. Ner is 250. Hashem is 26. 276. The gematria of oir with the ayin. The oir of a person, the skin of a person, the material part of a person, the chumrius of a person, the body of a person, doesn't let the oir on the shama shine through. But by doing mitzvahs, and by doing mitzvahs, we bring out that oir on the shama. We bring out that koyach to be a koil yochel with the koyach of the neshama. And doing the Ratzon Hashem. And if we'll be Maminim, and we will believe Be'emunah Shleima, that we have the ability to do the Ratzon Hashem, then we will never be Miyayish. We will never give up. And we will realize, and open our eyes and look around us, and see that the world is telling us, in the clearest of terms, Mashiach is around the corner. I don't like usually to talk about current events, but there's one thing that I think I would want everybody to think about. Technology in today's world rules. Technology rules in a way that we think we can do everything with technology. We can know everything. We can create everything. Technology has reached the level that it can do everything. One thing it surely can do is destroy the world. What did HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell us in the last month or two? A simple thing, an airplane. An airplane. He's so smart, the world. You know everything. Where is it? Nobody knows where it is. What is HaKadosh Baruch Hu telling us, Yidden? let yourself be fooled by the world's technology and the world's chachma. I'll prove you that there is something that they don't know yet. And I am Balabas of the world and not them. We have to listen to that message. We have to hear that message loud and clear. It's not the only message. You can hear that message day in and day out if you're smart enough. But it's time for us to realize Asidah Bayra'ilam on the world. And the Bayra'ilam runs the world. In Galus it's Behester. In Galus it's hidden. From time to time he shows us that he's in control of the world. And soon we are going to be Zaycha to see the Geula when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be Megala himself, will show himself to the world. And everybody will see Vahaya Hashem Lemelech al Kol Haaretz. And everybody will agree that Beyoimahu Yiyah Hashem Echad Ushmei Echad. And we all want to be there. We all say three times a day, V'sechzenu Einenu B'shuf Chalutziyayim Berachmem. We all ask that we should be there when the Geula comes. How are we going to be there? We'll prepare ourselves for Geula. We won't let Amalek control us. We won't let the world control us and get us involved in everything except what we should be involved in. We'll pick ourselves up. And we'll pick ourselves up to a higher level. Day by day, another step, another step. We don't have to come all the way up. That's gaiva. We'll do what we can. Step at a time, one step, whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives me the ability. And we have the ability because we have a neshama. And we'll be able to overcome all the pitfalls of the world. All the hardships of the world. We'll be able to be there, Be'ezus Hashem, all of us together. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings the Geula b'mehera b'yameinu.
Thank you.